You know, I'm standing here and I'm preaching about a subject that is very dear to my heart. And as I was preparing, I was thinking of different questions that just popped into my head, and I want to list those for you. What carries a person through a time of sorrow and grief? What does a person cleave to walking through a trial in life? What makes a person redirect their thought pattern from worldly success to scripture-based reality? What prevents a person from lusting after another thing, another person, or another escape? What's your answer to these questions? Don't throw it out, please. But I hope your answer to each one of these questions is faith. So we're going to continue our walk this morning through the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to investigate the deep crevices of our soul. We need to crawl deep within our minds and search out our inner heart. We have studied various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. And this morning we need to continue our walk through the orchard as we examine our faith, our faith. Not someone else's faith system, not the church's belief, but our own inner soul developed faith, how we believe. If you take some time and just walk through the scriptures, you discover that there is no place where it says that God's people are called to be successful. Rather, scripture proclaims that God's people are called to be faithful. I take comfort in knowing that. God doesn't look at me as a failure when I'm faithful to Him. When I'm faithful to God, He looks at me and all He sees is success. Don't you love that? Amen? Good, the lights are shining on me. Can I already see you? There's a couple little verses tucked away in 1 Corinthians that I really enjoy. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Just give me just such encouragement about this. It says, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove..." Oh, thank you. Let me say that again. It's required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. You're there. That's great. Faithful. I just want all of us to enjoy this morning as we begin to understand this wonderful fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. 4-year-old girl traveled with her mother on a job, and her mom worked for an organization, delivers lunches to elderly shut-ins. They just can't get out. And the various appliances sitting around there, particularly the canes and the walkers and the wheelchairs, just fascinated this little 4-year-old girl. And one day she was just standing there in someone's room, looking at their dresser, the top, and a pair of false teeth. And her mother just happened to kind of, she's looking all over, where did she go? And she found her daughter, she noticed her just standing there in this room, you know, and staring at these false teeth, and she thought, oh no, here come the questions. The barrage of questions that a 4-year-old has, that I know she's going to be asking about this now, right in front of all these people. And sure enough, the little girl, 4-year-old, turned to her mom and she said, "Mom, the tooth fairy will never believe this." See, believing is what faith's all about. Believing. So in order to develop our faith, we need to first of all define faith, what faith is. Faith, put it up there. Faith is firm and earnest belief. Faith, it is having confidence in God and in His Word. I want to begin by giving you a factual account, and it involves a group of people. In fact, I want you to be encouraged as I tell you this. It demonstrates the great power of God among His people. And let's assume for a moment that you're part of this crowd of people, all right? And you have a wonderful leader who has done amazing things for you, who has aided you immensely, has carried you through the tough times, and you've watched him do things that no other person could accomplish. I mean, but you're tired, you're thirsty, You've been walking through a desert for some time now. The heat's intense. The sweat continues to run off your face, and you taste the salt from your very pores. You can no longer take it. And you stand with the rest of the crowd, and you look on as a voyeur when someone bravely and bitterly states, "If only we had died when our brothers did. Why did you bring us here into this desert that we and our livestock should die here?" they say to this great exalted leader. And your leader falls on his knees from the pressure of the crowd. He's distraught. And finally, he regains his composure, and he gathers the crowd around him. And you're part of that crowd. You're looking intensely on, and you can hardly wait for this great leader to speak. And the intensity of the moment adds fire to the heat that lays upon your tired head. And you notice the leader looking over the crowd. And you begin to see his nostrils begin to flare. You see his limp hands begin to clench, one into a fist and the other upon his walking stick. And he shouts in a very angry blaze. He says, "Listen, you rebels. Here's the water you want." And he raises his angry arm and he strikes a rock twice with his staff, and water gushes out. Crowd goes wild. You participate in the drinking. You walk your cattle over, they drink, and everyone's rejoicing, and everyone's happy, and everyone's excited. And the great leader comes through again. Another stupendous miracle. Cool, clear artesian water gushes forth from a rock. Every one of the million plus people and animals, they drink their fill. This was no streamlet. It was a coursing river. What a huge success. I'm sure the great leader and his associate, they now embrace one another, and a thunderous roar rolls across the multitude from horizon to horizon, and your leader is again exalted as a hero. Through him, God met the needs of the people. The crowd was miraculously preserved. They were refreshed. And the leaders gave glory where it belonged, to God. Another resounding success of a great leader, a great patriarch. A true story. Factual account from Numbers chapter 20. Another success story about Moses. Faithful, true to God, individual. Leader in his own right, who failed miserably by heaven's standards. Wait a minute. Are you serious? Are you saying that this great patriarch Moses missed the boat when it came to responding to God's call to faithfulness? That's exactly what I'm saying. Listen carefully to the instruction God gave to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." You know what Moses did? He was so enraged at the crowd of thirsty, complaining Israelites. He disregarded God. And he did his own thing. You see, Moses was good at reacting instead of leading. God directed Moses to speak to the rock. And instead, in his anger, what did he do? He struck the rock twice. And because, you know, that's just a little tiny disobedience. It's insignificant. But because of that, Moses would never fulfill his life's cherished dream of leading Israel into the promised land. Often God's leading directs us closer to our dreams. But we fail so often to listen that our dreams never become a reality. See, God said, verse 12 of Numbers 20, and I invite you to turn there. God said, "Because you did not believe me." Because you did not believe me, God said. This is all about faithfulness. You know, I am so encouraged by it. I hope you are. Because this tremendous lesson from the life of Moses teaches us that one can be regarded as hugely, largely successful in ministry for God and yet fail to believe God. We may believe in him, yet not believe him. It's possible to give people exactly what they need, the practical exposition of God's word, the inspiring worship and programs that wonderfully meet human needs and yet be a failure in the eyes of God. It is possible to be held up as a paragon of success and to receive the accolades of the people and be a failure in the sight of God. And the reason Moses so miserably failed was that he was not faithful to God's word. God's primary call is to faithfulness. It's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. But from Moses' experience, we receive intense encouragement. Faithfulness is possible for all believers, regardless of the size of a person's ministry. It doesn't matter what you're doing for God. Just be faithful to him. So we need to gather the right tools. And the tools to gather the fullness of faith are, first of all, know God. Know God. Moses knew God's word. You got to understand that. You're part of the crowd. You got to know God. And if you look here at Numbers 20, verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Chuck Colson continues to seek God-given wisdom. He's developed such a successful prison ministry entitled Prison Fellowship, and he wrote in regard to that ministry, he said, "We must continuously use the measure of our obedience to the guidelines of his word as the real and only standard of our success, not some more supposedly tangible or glamorous scale." Does it sound familiar? Because it should. That's exactly the advice Scripture echoes time and time and time again. And it also affirms that knowing God, obedience, knowing God is critical. Knowing and explicitly doing God's word is the true key to success in our faithfulness. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, it says, "Do not let the word of our God depart out of thy mouth." Look at it, put it up there. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and..." Wow! Did you even know that was hidden in there? All I have to do is I just have to meditate on the Word of God day and night, and then I'll be successful. Well, that's too simple. Yeah, it is too simple. Well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. For to increase our faithfulness to God, we must therefore embrace what Scriptures call us to do. Very moving incident comes from the life of John Brodus. He was one-time president at University of Virginia and the founding prof at Southern Baptist Seminary. 3 weeks before he passed away, Brodus stood before his class, and the scripture reading for that was Acts 18:24, and this is what it says. "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures." And after Brodus read that verse, he went on to say, "People, we must be like Apollos, mighty in the scriptures." And a student later said that a hush fell upon that class for the next few minutes as Brodus stood and he repeated, "Mighty in the scriptures, mighty in the scriptures, mighty in the scriptures." That's how we ought to be, mighty in scriptures. Moses knew God's word. He knew God. Do we know God? We're kind of like this DC cartoon. Put this up here. "God, if you're up there, give me a sign." Next one. "I'm up here." You know? See, the question that those of us who desire to succeed in God's service must answer, do we know God's word, and are we growing in our knowledge of it? Do we know God? It can often be a very difficult question to answer. Do I know God? I remember my daughter, Felicia. She was a young two-year-old, and I hurt my finger. Anybody here ever hurt their finger? I hurt my finger. I want to tell you, we were on holidays at the time, and we were walking through a zoo. They wanted to put me in a cage. I happened to do something completely out of character, and I began acting a little bit weird. And I was jumping around, and I was holding benches and pretending I was a monkey. You know? You know, and I was walking. Well, I grabbed a hold of one of those wired stationary garbage cans as I'm and my finger hooked in it. And I let go of the garbage can, but it didn't. Okay? So it's holding on, and I'm pulled in different directions, you know, trying to figure out how do I get my finger out of this thing that I've wrapped it around inside the, you know what I mean? The wired mesh, you know, like, and it's jammed in there. And I'm telling, man, did that hurt? So I thought, I may as well suck up the sympathy. And so I'm going, oh, man, my finger's just sore. You guys go on and enjoy the zoo, but poor me, I'm going to be back here just lamenting on my finger. And I said, I don't think I can move it, I said to Joan. It's paralyzed, I'm sure it is. I've lost all feeling in my finger, I'm sure. And, you know, Joan's like, you know, and Nathan, are you okay, Dad? And you know, again, Joan, can we keep moving? All right, we're all hungry. One more serious. But Felicia stopped me in my attention-grabbing tactics, and she said, "Don't worry, Daddy. Jesus will fix it." That's knowing God. May we know God like that. See, I realize that for me to know God, I need to be entering into His Word. That's what I need to do. We need to incorporate the Bible into our life. Charles Spurgeon, he said, the great, great speaker, he said, a Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who's not. Isn't that good? You like that? Write it down. Yeah. Man, I got to tell you, this past week, I drove into the church lot, and, well, you pick a given night. But I can almost assure you that you would be looking for a spot to park. I arrived on Thursday night for a meeting, and I had to find a parking spot. I was thinking, what? My spot's gone, you know. And kind of like your pew, you know. And meetings going on. In fact, past week, Monday morning, had a couple in to meet with me, and I said, all right, follow me. We're just going to go. I'm going to take you to the library. I get to the library. Somebody's in there. I said, well, okay, I'll take you to the back CE wing. We'll go back there, and it's all right. We'll get going on some work. So we'll go back into the back CE wing. Somebody's in there. You know? I said, come back to my office. You know? Wednesday night, the Alpha group continues to meet now to study the book of Philippians. And a Wednesday night group coming here all summer studying the Word of God. I can't believe this. I shared that with the Baptist Union this week. They couldn't believe it either. They said, seekers, you're out of your mind. I said, it has nothing to do with me. It's the people. So it's all you. No. I have to tell you, though, as an aside, I was talking to the Baptist Union. They are praying for serve this week and all of us. Okay? They've been praying all week. They're going to keep praying all week. And they're excited. They wanted me to pass greetings on to all of you. So I've done that. If they ever phone you, I did that, okay? The call from both the scriptures and the lives of the faithful is to be people of the book, to know it correctly interpreted. If you are not presently engaged in studying God's word, why not start now to begin? Pick up a daily bread. Walk through the Bible this year. Put your life in the way of true success. Well, the tools together, the fullness of faith, are know God. And secondly, yield to God. You've got to yield to Him. Now, Moses may have appeared successful to that wonderful crowd of Israelites. Worldly success usually is like that. But in God's eyes, by heaven's standards, Moses failed miserably. He disobeyed the word of God. You see, knowing God's word is not enough. Obeying it is also part of faithfulness. Yielding to Him. Just like Jesus yielded His life for us on the cross. give it up for us. So here's a foundational question. Am I yielding to what God is saying to me? Am I listening to Him? See, I have to share that I've discovered that it's not natural for me to yield to God. That's something that I always have to work at and fight. There are times when I think, are you sure? God, are you sure? Are you positive on this? I read something in the scriptures and I start saying, oh, that's a cultural thing. And then God doesn't let go. He brings me that statement back and back to me and I say, all right, let up, I'll do it. You know, listen. Listen. I get no greater joy than doing what He says I should do because He knows what is best for me to do. Do I yield to what God is saying to me? Not always. But I've learned to listen to Him. To take time to listen to Him. To always obey His word because out of love for me, God wants the best for me. Now, isn't that good stuff? Are you there? This book has something for everyone. You can't say that just about any book. Mark Twain once said this. He said, it's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me, it's what I do understand. I can tell you're all there with Mark. Right? Faithfulness, true faithfulness, fruit-led faithfulness develops when we look at and listen to God's word and when we yield to Him. We allow, when we give permission to the Holy Spirit to unfold the Bible to us. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, no one tells stories better about commitment than Soren Kierkegaard, and perhaps the most famous illustration of commitment is the tale that he tells about a man who's trapped on the edge of a cliff with the raging fire burning towards him, and it will only be a minute or two but before the fire consumes him. And all of a sudden he hears a voice from down below the cliff amidst the darkness calling, jump! The man answers, but I can't see you down there. There's only darkness. And the voice from the deep shouts back, jump anyway, I can see you. And Kierkegaard uses that story to illustrate what he called the leap of faith. Jumping into the arms of the one who will catch you. It's like this. Put this cartoon up here. Don't you love what I pull out for you? It's kind of sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't sleep, Dolly, and I've been counting sheep like Billy told me to. Next one. Grandma always says, forget the sheep and talk to the shepherd. Isn't that priceless? I'll encourage that. Success first begins knowing God and then yielding to Him. Let me tell you, if you don't have a Bible, you talk to me because we'll give you one. That's how much I believe in this transforming power of God for living. No one keeps track of the time that you spend with God. No one sees you praying in your field on the tractor, you know, or on your knees beside your bed in the evening. No one watches you open your Bible and spend 7, 10, 15 minutes reading it. There are no clocks to punch. There's no time cards to turn in. But I tell you that when I dig deeper into the Word of God, it's only then that I understand the life-giving power that He gives. See, God's call to us is to be faithful rather than successful. That's His call. And as we walk through the vision that God has for us as a church, I believe Him. I believe Him. I can't do anything to take care of the vision. I can't even begin to figure out how it even comes together. But I believe him. The essential elements of God's faithfulness are within reach of every one of us. How encouraging that is. As you're a person in that crowd and you watch Moses do this miraculous thing for God, and then God comes along and says, "You didn't listen to me, Moses. You didn't listen to me. And because of that, you cannot enter the promised land." Oh, may we listen to him. May we listen to him. Because only he can take us into the promised land. Amen? You believe him? I do. Let's pray. Fellow servants, we all go through difficult times. There's baggage that we carry, and times of immense joy that we share. And there's also criticism and doubt, even times of sorrow that we walk through together. When these come, we need to dig deeper into the Word of God. Read it and reread it. Get into it and study it. Learn from it. Follow it. Yield to Him. Maybe this morning you heard about faithfulness, and even as those questions were put up on the screen, maybe you were questioning where it was all going. Maybe you question God lots. Maybe you don't even understand what he does sometimes. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eyes closed, maybe you need to come to God and say, "God, I believe in you, but I fail so often to believe you." Maybe you need to ask him to deepen your faith. Maybe you need to say, "Lord, I want to commit in digging into your word even 5 minutes a day. I just want to grow in my relationship with you, Lord." While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and you're coming to him, and maybe a Christian for years. Maybe you just got away from reading his word or listening to him. Today, will you commit saying, "Lord, I want to deepen my relationship with you. I want to get back into your word, and I want to spend time with you. Because then I will be successful in all I do." Would you just lift your hand if you're making that commitment to him this morning? Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Father, this morning we're talking about faithfulness, and we're talking about knowing you. We're talking about surrendering to you, yielding to you. God, you gave it all. You gave your only son, and Jesus, you gave it all on the cross. You yielded completely everything that you ever had for us. Out of love. Lord, we can't even fathom that. We want to, but we can't. I don't think, Lord, we can even understand even where you're taking us. It just seems impossible. But we believe you. We believe you, God. May we stay true to you. May you protect us, God. We surrender completely this place to you. Who we are as a body of Christ, we just give ourselves to you today, afresh and anew, God. Do what it takes so we can serve you better. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You've been beautiful to minister to.